Good evening, and welcome to the Committee of the Whole meeting regarding recreational cannabis, a little kind of public meeting. So if I can ask the clerk to please take the roll call. Thank you.
Trustee Beck.
Here.
Trustee Karji. Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Brennan.
Here.
Trustee Hennig.
Here.
Trustee O'Connell.
Here.
President Odusi.
Here. Dan, do you want to speak on this issue or another issue? Okay, well, then we'll wait after the presentation. Okay, well, up next is the presentation on recreational cannabis. I know Lisa Scheiner, our deputy administrator, has worked very hard on the presentation, so I'll let her take it away.
All right, thank you. All right. Well, thank you, President Odusi and trustees, and also to the members of the public in attendance tonight who are interested in this topic. I appreciate the opportunity to discuss it with you a little bit further. We are here tonight following up from a discussion that was held at the August 26th board meeting and the opportunity tonight to take some public comment on the topic. So just a real quick review of my portion of our meeting. I'm going to provide a very brief overview of the cannabis legislation, just hitting some of the key highlights of it. It is a bill that's over 600 pages long, so I just want to hone in on a couple things that I think are of interest to the public here in River Forest. I also want to talk about how this impacts River Forest in terms of land use. I know we're going to have an opportunity for some public comment, and then we will ask the board for some direction on next steps, either at this meeting or at the 7 o'clock meeting. We can talk about it a little bit further. So real briefly, the Illinois Cannabis Regulation and Tax Act, I'll refer to it throughout the presentation, is the CRTA. It's effective January 1st, 2020. And what it says is that adults aged 21 and over may possess and consume recreational cannabis, and that is with restrictions. It also expands the health conditions that may qualify for a medical marijuana card. It allows limited home growth of marijuana plants on private property for individuals who qualify for that program. It also establishes how cannabis will be taxed and guarantees that the village will receive a portion of the revenue, but it limits the use of the money to law enforcement activities. So I do want to highlight the fact that regardless of what River Forest decides in terms of a land use choice, these are the laws that are in effect for the entire state of Illinois. The CRTA, also establishes regulations regarding how much recreational cannabis an individual may possess on their person at any one time, where they can have it, and how much they can consume or where they can consume it. Recreational cannabis may not be present, for example, on school grounds or in other areas that are identified in the CRTA. And I do want to point out that recreational cannabis cannot be consumed in a motor vehicle knowingly in close proximity to anyone under the age of 21. In any public place or in any place where smoking is already prohibited by the Smoke-Free Illinois Act. So for instance, if you go to your favorite restaurant and you're unable to smoke a tobacco cigarette there, you're still unable to smoke any kind of cigarette there. Because these laws are in place for the entire state, there is no act that the village can take that can ban adult use or consumption of cannabis where it is allowed by the CRTA. The CRTA establishes baseline regulations regarding cannabis business establishments. Just to make sure we put a lot of acronyms in the government presentation, we'll refer to those as CBEs. The CRTA also provides a framework for CBEs, which is the businesses, we can call them that, to obtain state licenses. And the CRTA gives each community the ability to establish its own rules and regulations regarding where recreational CBEs are located and what process they must use to get permission to come into your community. So when we talk about some of those baseline regulations, I just want to point out a couple of them. So for instance, if you have a dispensary, a recreational dispensary in your community, it cannot be open outside the hours of 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. It cannot have a drive-through window. There can be no home delivery service, so you can't Instacart your purchases from those facilities. And there are various restrictions regarding what must be in place in order for them to open their doors every day. They have to have a minimum of 2 employees. Their point of sale equipment cannot be down. Their identification verification system cannot be down. So all of those things have to be operational every day at a baseline level established by the state. I also want to point out that regardless of what other communities do, River Forest has the ability to make its own choice. Conversely, whether you permit it or prohibit it, the neighboring communities can do what their village board decides. I know one of the things that comes up and one of the things that we read in the literature, obviously some public safety concerns that are surrounding recreational marijuana, and we understand those. And I want to just take an opportunity to sort of head some of those off in the past. We discussed them a little bit the last time, but I think it's important to reiterate some of these. First of all, the police department can and will enforce laws, state and local, regarding all applicable ordinances regarding unlawful cannabis use and possession. They do it now, they will continue to do it. Although the laws may change, we will still enforce them. The police department will also continue to be vigilant about identifying impaired drivers and use existing and developing training and technology to take those drivers off the road. Right now, when it happens that an officer identifies a driver who may be impaired, they do not know why they are impaired. It could be because of alcohol, cannabis, prescription, legal medication, or something else. Maybe they're having a medical condition. So our police department will continue to be vigilant about that, pursue training and technology as it becomes available in the marketplace. The police department will also continue to partner with the business community to address the safety concerns that are specific to each business. As I mentioned in the last meeting, when we were looking at the senior facility that's opening on Chicago and Harlem within the near future, the police department and the fire department had an opportunity at the very outset to sit down with the operator for that facility and the developer for that facility to discuss safety concerns. We take that approach with every business in the community. We make regular premise checks to retail shops, to banks, because we want to partner with them and we want to address any site-specific security concerns that they may have. This business, if allowed in River Forest, would be no different. I also want to point out that the village, as an organization, as an employer, will continue to enforce a drug-free workplace. Employees are prohibited from ingesting legal prescription, illegal substances that may impair their ability to perform the essential functions of their job. Our supervisors are trained in reasonable suspicion training. If they believe that an employee is impaired for any reason, they will take the appropriate steps to address that situation and make sure that everyone who comes to work every day is safe and capable of performing their job duties. And that would not change as a result of this. I do want to point out that there are already two medical marijuana facilities within the vicinity. There's one in Elmwood Park and there's one in Oak Park, just east of Lake and Harlem, or on Lake Street, just east of Harlem. The police department, and speaking with the chief, has not seen an increase in impaired driving as a result of the location of those facilities in proximity to River Forest, nor have they received any information suggesting that there's an increase in traffic issues as related to those medical dispensaries. Oops, back one, there we go. So when we talk about the local regulatory authority that the village has, it is all outlined by the state, by the CRTA. The village can make a decision whether to prohibit or permit recreational CBEs from locating in River Forest and establish local relations, or excuse me, local regulations regarding those facilities by the end of the calendar year. There are state restrictions regarding where these facilities may be located. They are limited strictly to commercial zoning districts. There is a requirement that there be at least 1,500 feet measured from property line between each CBE. And that results ultimately in a very small number of locations in the community where these things would be able to be located within our commercial zoning districts. And the reality is that I just don't see this, if it's allowed, being a proliferation of these businesses within the community. I think at most you would see one or maybe two. But River Forest is a 2.5 square mile town. So I just want to make sure we're setting expectations as to what may potentially happen if these are allowed. If it's permitted, the village may determine which recreational CBEs may be located in River Forest. There are a variety of licensing categories established by the state, but I just want to hone in on maybe the top three. The other two uses are really ancillary, and these are really the categories that the village board and the community should focus on. One is the cultivation center, which is really a large piece of land where these things are grown. They're up to 210,000 square feet approximately. So that's just not something that I think this community is really going to be able to accommodate. There are craft growers, those are typically indoor facilities, not outdoor facilities. Those can be up to 14,000 square feet. We do have businesses of that size in the community, so potentially that is something that could look to locate here, depending on their size and space needs. But then dispensaries, which are really the retail facilities or the point of sale for these items. The village can establish minimum distance requirements between recreational CBEs and sensitive uses. You have the ability to define what sensitive use means for this community, but it's an example, it could be a school. The liquor code currently says that a liquor license may not be held within 100 feet of a school or church. One's measured between property lines, one's measured between buildings. But ultimately, that's what you have now is a reference point for a potential baseline. I just want to point out on a map, when we're talking about our commercial zoning districts, what we're really talking about. So North Avenue is the C1 business district. Harlem Avenue, there are just a very small number of properties on Harlem that are in the C2 business district. Jump down to Madison Street, again, there are a limited number of properties, but that's primarily the C2 business district as well. Lake Street west of Lathrop is primarily C3. There's a tiny little pocket of C2, but east of Lathrop is ORIC, which stands for Office, Research, Industrial, and Commercial. So again, the state says that these facilities may only go in commercially zoned areas. They may not go in residential zoned area. And we are including in that the PRI, Public Recreational Institutional, where you may have dormitories and college campuses. So you can't have a dispensary in a college campus if that's what you decide to do. Well, even if we didn't decide to, you still can't have a college campus. If permitted, the village may determine the process by which recreational or medical cannabis business establishments are located here in River Forest. For instance, already in the zoning ordinance, we have something called a special use permit, which allows the village to impose conditions of approval. Special use permitting process requires public hearings before the zoning board of appeals, or review by an appointed body of the community, or review by the village board of trustees, notes to the neighbors and sufficient opportunity certainly for public input. Just a note on medical cannabis business establishments from medical marijuana dispensaries and facilities. Under the state law, which was passed several years ago, they cannot be prohibited outright in River Forest. There is, however, a minimum distance requirement between what the state defines as sensitive uses, which includes schools, daycares, and residentially zoned properties, and the medical dispensaries. And that minimum distance requirement is 2,500 feet. It's half a mile. We're a 2.5 square mile town loaded with residential, school, and daycare uses. So regardless of what the village's restrictions are, realistically under the current state law, there are no locations where a medical dispensary can locate. But medical dispensary proximity requirements and recreational are different. So just to kind of wrap up my presentation and turn it all over to you guys. This meeting was scheduled so that the board could accept public comment regarding the possibility of allowing CBEs in River Forest. At its next meeting, the village board will discuss and direct the zoning board of appeals to consider possible text amendments to the zoning ordinance regarding CBEs. And that should be done regardless of whether you decide to permit it or prohibit it. Our zoning code should be clear about what our local regulations are. And then at its September 23rd meeting, assuming you decide to proceed with permitting it, the village board has the ability to adopt an ordinance imposing a local tax on all recreational cannabis sales. But our focus tonight really is on the land use portion of this decision. And that concludes my portion of this. I'm happy to answer any initial questions.
Thank you, Lisa. Just before Trustee Brennan asks a question, I just want to remind the audience and the trustees that we are Facebook Live. So wave to your friends out there, and we'll continue to, you know, do that kind of stuff to ensure that we're transparent and as much as communication as we can get out to the community as possible. So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No pressure on framing.
No, just wanted to make sure you knew.
So, you mentioned that the village can determine which recreational CBEs may be located in River Forest Cultivation Center, unlikely craft grower dispensary. Is smoking lounge a part of the kind
That's
of
a really
dispensary?
Good question. So a smoking lounge is a decision you all can make. And so dispensaries may have smoking lounges in them, but that is a decision you all can make about whether or not that's appropriate for River Forest. You can allow a dispensary, but prohibit onsite consumption within that dispensary. You can prohibit those smoking lounges from existing inside those dispensaries.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And since we are Facebook Live streaming this, I would like to mention all of the information tonight, the presentation is at our website, vrf.us/cannabis.
Or click the link below.
Or click the link below on our Facebook page.
Easy. Okay, well, any other further questions for Lisa from the trustees? If not, I'm going to open it up. I know, Dan, you are the only one that signed in, but we can still, if anybody wants to ask questions, I will take questions from the audience. I mean, that's why we're here, so we might as well have questions. But I'll let Dan Lauer speak first since he signed in. Welcome, Dan.
I thought there were going to be a horde of people signing up. Daniel Lauer, 7215 Oak, lives here around 30 or so years. I just like to encourage the board to proceed with writing and adopting a rational zoning set of amendments to allow recreation cannabis dealers, as well as, I know this isn't the focus of this meeting, imposing a 3% tax on recreational cannabis sales. As you know, we've got a dealer half a block outside River Forest and Oak Park is a dealer in Elmwood Park. It's a reality. And as long as this isn't getting to people under 25 where it's damaging to the reins, I can't think of any reason not to go ahead with allowing this, whether or not we actually get a dealer, everyone knows. But it just seems to make some sense. Thanks.
Thank you, Dan. Okay, with that, I'm going to open it up to the, if you have any questions, if you can stand up and just maybe state your name.
Hi, Marilyn Thomas. My preference would be for it to be banned in River Forest.
Okay. All right, thank you. We're behind you. Go ahead.
Ellen Lee.
You want to get up at the?
Yeah, just the microphone would be good.
Okay.
So we can hear.
So we can, people now can't see you, so that's a good point.
Thank you.
Forget about that. Thank you, John.
Thank you so much for your presentation. Ellen Leibner, 411 Ashland. No comment at this time, a question for the police. Is there currently a test if somebody is impaired, similar to a breathalyzer for alcohol? Is there any kind of test?
There's no test at this time similar to the breathalyzer. Carroll Stream and a few other towns are going through a test and evaluation of a product that a company has developed. And right now they don't have something like the breathalyzer that can come up with determining whether someone has a threshold of over 5 nanograms per liter of blood. So that's something the industry is still working at. As far as our officers are trained in determining, as Lisa Scheiner mentioned, in impaired driving detection. And that could be the same as someone that's driving tired. That could be the same as someone that's distracted driving, on their phone, eating, putting on makeup, changing the radio station, and also alcohol. It's the same field sobriety tests that are used. There's drug recognition experts, and I'll throw another acronym out there, DRE experts, and that training has just begun. What we haven't seen coming from the states that not only have had medical marijuana, but also recreational marijuana in play for several years now for standardized tests that are similar to the breathalyzer.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Do you mind Sylvia? You just stating your name so we know who talking to.
Please. My name is Lita Forsyth. I own a little bit workshop across the street with the kids. I am completely opposed. And I think by opposing it as a village, we open the opportunity to talk to our kids about why. I am not a scientist. I have not done studies. I have no statistics to offer you, just personal family experience as a child of an addict. And I have not seen anything good come from it.
Thank you. Okay, please step forward.
Hello, thank you for your presentation too. I'm Ingrid Liu, I'm at 931 Thatcher.
I am a physician with a practice in Oak Park. I have a little bit of a statement here. I am a member of the Society for Cannabis Clinicians and have extensive training and knowledge in the science of medical cannabis. Through prohibition, marijuana has been misrepresented as a Schedule I drug. And prior to studying its properties and indications for many chronic conditions, I too was under the impression that it is a dangerous drug that only leads to a path of destruction and addiction. It was only through my desire to understand the facts that my eyes have been opened. Alcohol is a far more dangerous and destructive substance. Society has normalized being drunk and underage drinking, as we know. It's considered a typical rite of passage for many. We are not discussing children or teens consuming here, though I have also certified medical cannabis for children with conditions that are justified. We know that kids are smoking pot, and personally I would prefer if they would get their hands on something that is more from a certified grower and not a synthetic substance, or laced with heaven forbid fentanyl. The statistics are out that we know that in states where this has been legalized, the incidence of narcotic and opiate overdose has dramatically decreased. I can provide you with those statistics. I'm not saying that we should have a dispensary recreational here in River Forest. I just ask you to make a decision based on facts and not fear.
Thank you, Ingrid. Any other comments that anybody wanted to make? Yep, please step up to the podium.
Hi, I'm Nicole Miller, and I'm a resident on Vine in Ashland. I've been here for about 5 years. And I'm here to speak in favor of allowing marijuana dispensaries in River Forest. There's been a number of studies on it, primarily in Colorado for obvious reasons.
Right.
One of which says that it has no greater impact on a neighborhood than a coffee shop or a CVS. I think we need businesses and diversity of businesses in River Forest, and this is an opportunity for that. Also, there's a recent study from a marketing company called Clever, which says that it increased marijuana dispensary in the neighborhood increases home values by $23,000 on average. So, you know, we don't have a lot of space for businesses, and I think this is a real opportunity for our village. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi, thank you for hosting us. Thank you to my neighbor on Vine and Ashland. I would say a couple of things. The first is I think that an economic analysis of what this could bring to the community is important because we don't really know. I mean, certainly as the gentleman spoke initially, there are medical dispensaries in neighboring communities, but there's going to be a different volume of traffic at a recreational facility. There will be a different average purchase size at a recreational facility than there would be at a medical facility. So I think we need to have a better sense of what we can expect as a village and what the potential problems that might cause are, whether there will be traffic problems or things like that, depending on how many of these exist, where they are, and what streets there are. The other thing I would just say is I would ask, as I'm sure you will, to use caution as we move forward, simply because I think the opportunity for walking something like this back is probably much harder than it is for doing it in the first place. And if we get out into the forefront of this in our community, we may be doing ourselves a disservice because we might have an opportunity now to learn from what neighboring communities do with this, watch what Oak Park does when they inevitably permit this, watch what other communities do, and just see, are there drawbacks that we don't see, or are there things that we're not considering? Can we learn from other people's mistakes instead of making them ourselves? Thank you.
Thank you. As far as that, as far as the economics of it, we did take a look at, right, this stuff? Maybe you want to?
A little bit,
a
yeah.
Little bit. Maybe just, I mean, we agree. I mean, we wouldn't, if this was worth zero.
I suspected you'd look
right.
at it. Yeah.
But so I don't want you to walk away thinking,
sure.
That we did.
Well, just to be clear, too, one of the things I neglected to mention in the presentation, with regard to the volume of dispensaries or CDs that we would see in River Forest, we're part of an area that the Bureau of Labor and Statistics defines, and in 2020, there will only be 47 licenses issued to that region. That includes Chicago,
Elgin, any neighborhood, right? So it's a pretty large geographic area with a lot of communities and a lot of land. So the ability to even attract one, I think it's going to be a competitive marketplace. What's happening initially is that those facilities that already have a medical license are going to be applying for recreational license if they haven't already done so already. I think the parks facility is a really good example of that. So those initial licenses, that's where we're going to see a lot of this happen first. So I agree with you that there will be an opportunity to look at what's happening at some of these other locations and learn a little bit about what that impact would be to our community based on that. But certainly, we have looked a little bit, or our finance director has taken a look at what some of the projected revenues are for a recreational dispensary in the community. There's some estimates that are putting it up around $400,000 in revenue to the community. It's going to take time for the marketplace to mature. It may take up to 5 years to really see what those numbers look like, and that really is statewide. But one thing is clear from the literature that I have read, which is that when this revenue comes in, whether it's through the state's funds or whether it's through the local excise tax, there is a significant amount of revenue that becomes available at the state and local level for a variety of programs.
That figure was per year, or the estimates?
Per license, yeah, per license per year.
Right. And to the other point the resident had made about traffic and other issues, I mean, those will be controlled in one of two ways. Either the applicant will come in through a plan development permit as part of a larger development project, or they'll come in as we're proposing on a special use. So they wouldn't be able to just open up as a matter of right. They would have to go through a public hearing process. People within that area would be notified, and that's how we would deal with issues like traffic,
parking,
all those other
security,
ancillary
access, deliveries, hours of operation, absolutely.
And so there's a process for that. Very good, thank you, Lisa. Carol?
Yeah.
And then Bob, sorry.
Hello. Thank you for the information, Carolyn Kilbride at Brown Park Avenue. So I have a couple of points I want to make. I do think marijuana maybe might not be the panacea that everybody thinks it is, because I do have personal experience with my son, and I think there is some direct linkage to marijuana, to schizophrenia, and some other mental health issues. So, and there are so many different strains of marijuana and strength of marijuana, so I think you just have to be careful on who's getting licensed for the dispensary and the knowledge of what they're selling on the different strains of marijuana. And the marijuana can cause drowsiness, the marijuana can cause alertness, and there's all sorts of different aspects of what you saw with the cannabis. And even now, out on YouTube, you can see some of people coming into these dispensaries and maybe trying some wax or trying some oil. And there was just one I was looking at the other day when the gentleman was 300 pounds, you know, fell over and crashed through the glass. So it's not something that I would take lightly for deciding whether to do it. You know, I do think there's definitely medical benefits for it, for other aspects of sleep, anxiety, depression, but it's not, I don't think everybody can use it. We're all wired differently and it affects everybody differently. So, and I also have here, which maybe we can share with the board. This is from the Denver Post back in September 28, 2018, and it was written by the district attorney, the U.S. District Attorney of Colorado. So what he said with the marijuana is, maybe take a breath on that. He said, Colorado's youth use of marijuana is at a rate 85% higher than the national average. It's related to traffic fatalities that are up 151%. 70% of the 4,400 licensed pot shops survey recommend that pregnant women use marijuana. So I think there's some information in here that says the black market is exploding out in Colorado. He also says that people's questions as he goes around the US, they do tout the tax revenue from it. And he basically says in Colorado, there's been no net gain. Marijuana tax revenue has added less than 1% to Colorado's coffers, which is more than washed out by the public health, public safety, and regulatory costs of commercialism. So I just thought maybe we could make this available also,
yeah,
because this is just some information out there.
Just Carolyn, give it to Lisa, so make sure everyone gets a copy of it. Thanks.
Sure, thank you.
Yeah. And I think we're, most of us, maybe all of us, are aware of you know, the Colorado model, and I think, if I'm correct, Lisa, is the way Illinois took the law is that's why they're restricting many of these licenses, because Colorado just did an explosive everybody could get a license kind of a thing. And so they're everywhere versus Illinois, and they're slowly rolling it out in a more managed way, if I'm correct.
And people knowledgeable that are selling, or someone comes in with certain
concerns. And they're, and it's the state that's licensing,
right,
not
right,
us.
Right.
Right. Which is, they'll do all the background checks, all the
so
on.
So you don't have a say over who would actually be running the dispensary here?
I'm sure you would.
No, well, we would have, yeah, because we would know, but I mean,
yeah,
but they're licensed.
They're licensed, right, okay.
Right.
Yeah, we wouldn't issue the
license. We wouldn't issue the license. All right. Please.
My name is Robert Day, 836 Pine Grove. I am the father of five children that I am trying to raise drug-free. With a family history of drug abuse, alcoholism, and suicide, this is a pretty high priority for me. When my children reached their teenage years and began considering their dystopian futures of either hard work or living in my basement, I frequently remind them that the only way out is the application of their intellect. They aren't getting out of here on their athletic ability, so they shouldn't do anything that might damage their chances of getting out of the hellscape they know as River Forest. I believe dispensaries in River Forest will make keeping them drug-free harder. I'm under no illusions as to the availability of drugs, alcohol, and all the other horrible things in River Forest. But I think the dispensaries make my job harder, not easier. And one of the reasons I moved here was to have an easier time raising my kids. Two other things I also bring up is I really like the idea of letting other communities experiment with this in Illinois, see how this actually applies to our local area with our legal regime. And the other question I sort of had, I actually do have some friends who work at dispensaries. My current understanding is that they have sort of questionable access to the banking system, which I think will create some interesting issues for, like, if you know, you have a dispensary right there doing a huge amount of business, and my current belief is they cannot go to the bank to deposit things. So, all right, thanks.
Yeah, it's true. The federal government does not allow cannabis.
My name is Mary Ann Zay. I live at 836 Bonnie Bray. That is my husband who just spoke. I have the same opinion as he does on the matter. I also have a question for the police department. Will parents who host underage cannabis parties for underage users be prosecuted in the same way that parents who host parties with alcohol for underage users are prosecuted?
That's an excellent question. There's no state law at this time. There's no county ordinance at this time. And the village board would have to confer with legal counsel on what type of law could be created and adopted, and then probably require a village ordinance similar to what we have for hosting underage drinking party.
Thank you.
Okay. I think that would be highly encouraged by our board, I think. Okay, any further comments or questions? Please step forward.
Barb Langer, River Forest. I'm a cyclist, and I don't want any more excuses for people running me off the road. This is just one more source of impaired drivers from my point of view, so I'd like to put a strong no to any facilities that you can keep out of the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Now we can just have them all stop at the stop sign. Right? Okay, any further comments from any of the public? That's good stuff. Justin Brennan, did you have a question?
I do, and I'm not sure if I'm asking you, Lisa or Greg or whoever around the table. A couple residents have asked two questions. One, whether we can benefit from waiting to pass this and watch it and see how it goes with other municipalities, and two, if it's difficult to walk it back once we do. And my understanding is one of the reasons why we're looking at this right now is that there's a deadline by which this, October deadline by which the state needs to know whether or not we're in or not. And if we're not, then we don't
share our revenue piece. Yeah, I'm sorry, you need to cut off. The land use decision is something that we should have in place by the end of the calendar year, so that when it becomes effective January 1st, 2020, we're setting the stage for what people can expect. In terms of the revenue piece, in order to have any local taxes on file with the Department of Revenue, we really should have a decision made about taxation made by October 1st so that we can put that on file. If the board passes an ordinance imposing a local excise tax on cannabis sales, unless there is a dispensary in River Forest or a point of sale in River Forest, we won't collect any of that revenue. So being on file with the state about the revenue piece doesn't behold you to any future land use decision, and you can also repeal that ordinance if the decision is ultimately to prohibit these facilities in the community now or at any point in the future. And in terms of walking it back, the same process by which we would have these things added as a permitted use is the same process by which we would remove them as a permitted use. So it is a text amendment to the zoning ordinance, which requires a public hearing on it being vetted by the zoning board with a recommendation to the village board of trustees. So it is an identical process. I understand procedurally, it's the same thing that we're doing now.
And as far as, I think, Katie, your first other question is, waiting. I mean, certainly that's a possibility, but I think the state's already, restricting the amount of licenses, so over a large period of space. I mean, we might be waiting 3, 4, 5 years before we get any, even if we permit it. That could be a fact.
Mm-hmm.
So we just got to think about all of that.
And in the meantime, as I mentioned earlier, there are already facilities that are applying for the recreational licenses who already have the medical licenses. So I do appreciate the comment and the concern. I do think that ability already exists to examine what's happening at those facilities where they're allowing both medical and recreational.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good questions. Any further comment on this topic? Hearing none, if there's no comment from any of the trustees, then I'll go ahead and close the public hearing. So if I could get open it, so.
Yeah, no, it's not an official public hearing.
We'll just, it'd
be a motion to adjourn the committee of the whole, and then maybe just one point of clarification.
Yep,
we'll be then at the village board meeting tonight. We're looking for a direction on how to proceed.
Yeah, just so that everyone's clear. Yeah, I mean, so we have clear transparency on our agenda tonight on item 8A. Again, this is what Lisa was talking about, giving direction to the zoning board to begin the public hearing process, which allows us to really think about special uses and all the restrictions that we would impose as a local municipality would start there. Again, a vote from around this table wouldn't occur until at least November if we choose to agree to have a dispensary and a craft grower, I guess, in number four. So.
But there were just so the public is aware, there's another opportunity for public comment in front of the Zoning Board of Appeals. We're looking at October.
Yes, for another public hearing.
Second
Thursday in October for that. So we'll publicize that on Facebook, on our website, et cetera. But just to be everyone's aware.
Yeah. Good. Okay, very good. Well, then we'll adjourn our committee of the whole meeting.
Okay. I move to adjourn.
Yep.
Second.
Aye.